How has Gail responded throughout the meetings? I mean, obviously she's done the meetings for several years, but how has she kind of handled?
Oh, fantastic. She's just stepped right in and fit right in, and she's on top of it. Yeah. And we all expected that. She's been here. She's been to these meetings. Mr. B got her involved in a lot of different things, and so I think it was pretty comfortable for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean, how different has it been for you? You've been to all these meetings before with Mr. Vincent, and now to finally come to one without it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like this for a while, is that, when you have these experiences that you're used to having him right there and by your side, you get a little emotional at times, and there was a couple times during the meeting that I'm thinking, Mr. B wouldn't like this, or he would like this, and you get a little choked up.
What is it about the structure, the way everything's set up, and then the relationships between you, Gail, and Dennis that you think will make this work just as well?
Well, I think first of all, look, she's familiar with us, I think she knows that Mr. B had a lot of trust in Dennis and myself and a number of other people in the building, including our head coach. And so, obviously, she trusts his judgment. So I think that's what we're starting with. We're starting with trust. Now, we're going to have to continue to earn that from her. She's gonna do things her way. I think she'll find what that is, and we'll adjust. But I don't anticipate anything being much different in terms of the way we operate.
As far as on the football end, talked with Sean earlier this morning, and Dominic and Sue went to the Rams. How heavily involved are you guys in trying to land here?
Yeah, look, we made a pitch and he chose to go a different direction. That happens. That happens more often than not, really. When you have 32 teams and you're all competing for a group of players, and so sometimes you lose.
Pretty pleased with what you've seen out of the competition committee and the changes so far.
Yeah, I think that that's a tough job. That competition committee is a tough job, and you're trying to, serve and please a lot of constituents, and so it's they spend a lot of time and effort on every single issue, I think over the years they've done a great job, and it's nice to have Sean on there. We get a little bit of a stronger voice than we've had in the past, and I think he'll be a good addition to that. But the things that they've done that I've seen, I like.
Sean had mentioned with all the free agent signings and the potential free agent signings, like with Sue, the price points and not wanting to go above those certain price points.
Yeah.
With how you built in the draft, particularly last year, and what you were able to build this year, how much easier does that make it to say, this is the number, we feel good about that number, and we don't necessarily need this piece if we were to stretch ourselves thin financially?
Yeah, I think you always have to, set your own value. And look, sometimes you estimate the market to be a certain level and it's different. And so, sometimes you have to adjust. And we can do that, and we have done that in the past. And yet there are also, some areas where you say, we're going to go to this level, but not to, not above that. And so you kind of pick and choose your spots there, and you make the best decision you can for your team, and I think historically we've been decent at that. I think a lot of teams are good at that, but there's also oftentimes that another team has a different level than what you're thinking about, and so that happens. And part of the reason why some guys get signed with us and some don't.
Is it ever hard to hit the brakes, though, when there's a player you really want, but you have that level?
Well, look, I think part of this is the competitiveness in each of us. We're competing for a player. We want to get him. So sometimes that leads to, bad decisions. But, look, I think we make our best decision and we go with it. And typically we're going to set those we're going to set those parameters before we start the pursuit. And see how it works out.
You guys like to couple free agency with the draft, in that you can go through free agency and then go through the draft, take the best available guy. Do you feel like you've kind of set yourself up that way?
Well, I don't think we've done everything that we've set out to do, but there's still time left, you know, before the draft. There's still, you know, players out there and available, and you know, there's other avenues, there's trades, and so I can't answer that yet. And yet, look, we're always striving to be able to select someone that at the time we're picking is hopefully the highest rated guy on your board. Now, typically what happens is you'll have three or four in the same vicinity, and then the position comes into play. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
What are some of those holes you feel like you guys haven't addressed?
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready to discuss that right now. You know, let's wait till we get through free agency, and you know, we'll go from there.
How is this draft? You've done a lot of these. Fit within what you need in this draft? Does it line up pretty good for you?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think we're still in the process of, you know, evaluating and setting our board. You know, we've got coaches and scouts out at pro days right now, and so there's still a lot of work to be done. I think our initial blush is that there's some good players to be had in this draft. And look, the unfortunate thing for us is we've got two picks in the first three rounds instead of five like we did last year. So it's not going to be the same just by nature of volume. So but we'll see what happens.
That's a tough act to follow, what you did a year ago, but based on, you know, the success of what you did a year ago, that has to give you a good momentum during this draft, and, you know, the theories and the concepts of what you believe in.
Well, look, there's always a good feeling when you have some success, regardless of what it is at. But look, we have a lot of confidence in Jeff Ireland, our scouting staff, and our coaches, both in terms of, you know, how they evaluate and the things that they are looking for in a player. And then once we get them, their ability to develop players fairly quickly. So it does give you some confidence. And yet, man, last year doesn't mean anything relative to this draft. We're starting from ground zero, and, you know, we have to do every bit as good a job evaluating and then selecting the players when it's our turn.
Has the analytics department changed or aided anything in regards to draft preparation?
I don't know that I'd say that. I think, look, we've always paid attention to, you know, data and information how productive a player's been, and so we've always studied the different variables on you know, college players. That's one of the, you know, tools in the toolbox. It's always been there. Now, as time goes on, it gets a little more sophisticated, and you get a little more information available to you. But I wouldn't say it's a bigger factor than it's been, you know, in the last few years. I wouldn't say it's any bigger than it was, you know, last year, the year before.
Mickey, you never know free agency, what's it going to bring, or a draft. But compare this franchise to state compared to a year ago at the owners' meetings, and you guys have come a long way.
Well, look, we feel better, you know, when you make the playoffs and you have a successful regular season campaign and you win a game in the playoffs. Obviously, you feel better. But it's right. It's no different than the draft. We're back at ground zero. It's a different team. You know, nothing that we did last year gives us an entitlement to anything going forward. So we have to approach it that way. We have to look at ourselves with a critical eye and be, you know, just as diligent and innovative as we you know, were a year ago. You know, then we'll get the outcome we hope for.
How much of a game changer has Jeff Ireland been? Is there something specific that he's maybe brought to that department?
No, listen, I Jeff's a, you know, a good evaluator. He's good. He's really good at organization. He's got a lot of experience. He's had, you know, a number of successful drafts in his career. You know, he came in and adapted to some of the things that we did. He added some things that we didn't do before, and he's done a good job of you know, developing our staff, and he's just done a good job, you know, all the way around. That's what we expected when we hired him. So, you know, Sean had some experience with him, and obviously I knew of Jeff for a long time. And when we went through the interview process and discussed the you know, philosophies, you know, we were really aligned. And so, yeah, he's done a good job for us. I have a lot of confidence in him, and you know, our entire building does.
Sorry if you've answered this, but the transition with Mr. Benson passing away, Gail, we met with her yesterday.
Yeah.
Seems like everything's been really smooth and during a very hectic time.
Yeah, look, you know, we've been around Miss Gail for a long time, and so there's familiarity there, and you know, as I said before, you know, she I think has a high degree of trust in myself and Dennis and our executives and our head coach, based upon, you know, the last 13 years of experience that she's been involved. So, you know, she has not been just on the sidelines. She's been involved in a lot of meetings and discussions and decisions over the past 13 years. So I think all of us expected her to step right in and do a great job and a smooth transition, and that's what it's been.
And the unique part of this organization is, you know, the continuity. Sean addressed it this morning. He's the third longest tenured coach in the NFL. You've been with him the whole time. You've had the same quarterback. I mean, what does that say, and what does that mean to this franchise to have that kind of continuity?
Well, you know, I think in professional sports in general, stability and continuity is a commodity that's hard to come by, and so when you have that, you've got a built-in advantage. We've been lucky enough and done a good enough job to have that. And you know, listen, that's to Mr. B's credit too. He recognized early on that how hard it is to, you know, win a game, how hard it is to build a culture, how hard it is to develop a program that can be successful over a longer term. And so he was very, very, very patient. Now he's competitive too. So I'm not saying that he wasn't competitive. He was really competitive and emotional about winning and losing. But man, he had an understanding of you know, how difficult it is to establish a program, and that it takes time to do that. So that's to his credit.
When it comes to the last 30 or so days for Gail, just given all that she's juggled, what impresses you most about her temperament?
Oh, man, she's just so strong. You know, and how she's handled the last, you know, month. I think it really, you know, a lot of times when you go through adversity, it reveals, you know, character and the type of person that you are, and man, she's just been a champion. She really has. And really strong for all of us, too. So it's been really exciting to see.
How adamant was she that she wanted to be a part of this process this weekend?
That was her decision. And you know, none of us would have been surprised or kind of expected that she would want to just take a little bit of time to herself and, you know, go home and just have some private time. But man, she wanted to come and get involved, and you know, I think part of that is she wanted to show all of us and New Orleans that look, she can handle being the owner of the New Orleans Saints, and so I'm not surprised at all, because we, you know, we know what kind of person she is and how strong she is, but it is remarkable.